ho ho, and welcome to the Cinema Time Capsule Podcast. This episode, we review not-so-classic 80s Christmas specials. Happy non-denominational winter religious or secular celebration, everyone.
Cinema Time Capsule's mission is to bring back the movies from the 80s to the big screen. We screen the movies in front of a live audience to decide collectively if they're as good as we remember them. The movies that we screen are chosen by you, the viewer, so head to the lobby and get yourself a treat. This episode, we are reviewing 80s Christmas classics. I am your host, Jeff Child of the 80s, and alongside me is my co-host, Dr. Retro himself, Joel.
Ho ho! Do you know what that's from?
Never heard
or
of it.
Or what inspired it?
No.
The commercials of like the Canadian Moments, what were they called? That was actually when they show a scene of like a loon or whatever.
Oh, that was Hinterland Who's
Yes.
Who.
So that was actually inspired by that. Yeah. Anyhow. Off track right away.
Sorry. We had a great screening of the Monster Squad at the Playhouse. A very lively audience joined us for a Saturday matinee on a snowy Saturday afternoon, and we got a great shout out from our crowd.
Two of our biggest supporters who came to Gremlins screening as well called in to give us their impression of the event.
Hi, we are the Froze Brothers, Ryan
and Tyler,
from St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada.
We drove through a snowstorm to get to Cinema Time Capsule's screening of The Monster Squad. It was a monster mashing good time.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Thanks to Comic One Books at 67 King Street East in beautiful Stony Creek, Ontario. Visit them in person or online at comiconebooks.com. That's comic, the digit one, books.com.
So, we thought we'd kick this off by delving into our memories of favorite Christmas memories and gifts. Was there anything you wanted to get but didn't? What do you remember being super pumped about? Maybe it was broken by the afternoon. Any recollections, Jeffrey?
Basically, I spent all of my adult life going back to Christmases in the 80s and thinking about what I got. My favorite things that I got this Dracula board game. And it scared me. The cover of the board game scared me. I think it was like 1982, again, like 5 or 6.
Sure.
And I was frightened by it, but I would always want to play it. And then I get too scared and I have to put it away. I got the G.I. Joe MoBat, which is the motorized battle armored tank, I think. Mm. It was like 1982, and it moved on its own.
Whoa.
One of my big fun ones was I got a dual cassette boombox with Duran Duran Rio.
Woo.
Yeah. And I loved going to see Santa at Limeridge Mall.
Oh,
do you remember that one?
Yeah. Was it? But did you live up there or did you?
I did live up there until grade 6. And
that's why.
It was kind of like the Christmas Story Santa where you're
sure.
waiting and you had to wait like about an hour
to get
on
the
greasy
dude's lap. It was the biggest mall in the area.
Yeah. It was super fun. Yeah. The thing I wish I got was the USS flag. Do you guys know what that is?
No.
Simon, did you ever hear about that? The USS flag?
Absolutely. It was the something that I would have loved to get. I actually had I got the MoBat myself. I had that.
Whoa. Oh my gosh.
You guys could have been playing
the USS flag was this like 6 foot long aircraft carrier from G.I. Joe. I've never actually seen one in person, but I totally wanted that one. And I guess some of my favorite treats, I love the Lifesavers candy book.
Yep.
Do you guys remember that one?
Absolutely.
I love the butterscotch.
Yeah, but which was the one that you were like, this one's gross or I don't care about? Because there's always like your favorite and then the ones that you
I would eat them
away.
All. Sometimes there was a black licorice one in there, which I would love now.
Really?
Yeah. The other thing I loved was the Smarties candy cane tube.
Mm-hmm.
But I never got actual Smarties. It was always like the
knockoffs,
and it was disgusting.
Welcome to my childhood.
Knockoffs aisle 6. Now, my favorite Christmas song was Last Christmas by Wham.
Really?
Yep. Do they know it's Christmas time?
Yeah.
Loved that. And obviously, we opened with the Bob and Doug, and you know, asking for a beer for Christmas, like beer. When I was a young kid, I thought it was great. And 6 packs of smokes.
Yep.
Was it 6 packs of smokes?
Seven
I packs of smokes and a beer.
I think it was in a tree. French toast.
Five yep. French. Yeah. Four. I don't know.
We'll have to look it up.
Yeah.
And Joel, what did you get that was awesome that you remember still?
Well, we definitely had plenty of presents under the tree. We're very lucky that way. And we got a lot of knockoffs. So my recollection, though, you know, it's influenced obviously by pictures or videos that your family took at the time. So I think I'm remembering that more, but I remember the year we got a Commodore 64 with a disk drive. And there's video of me losing my mind, you know, because it had 64K of memory.
That's huge. Did you have Spy Hunter?
Oh, for sure.
I love that
Montezuma's Revenge. Yeah. We had everything. And then, so that was a big one. I remember I had some Star Wars action figures, so would have got a little bit then. But I remember the year, like, I loved wrestling for a long time and always wanted wrestlers.
Yes.
And
I had a huge collection.
Oh, yeah. I think I might have had two or three real ones, maybe
the
a few
LJ
more
and the
over
big
the years.
Ones, the big rubber
yeah, the
ones.
Big ones, yeah. I remember specifically one Christmas that's I think mostly what I asked for, and I ended up getting wrestlers, but they Sweet. Were small, hard plastic, where the bodies were all the same, and just different heads, and for sure, my parents bought them at Big V. Up the street.
Big V, by the way, was a pharmacy. That was basically, they sold antibiotics and real tchotchke kind of like knickknacks.
And some toys. There was a toy aisle, but they were pretty much all knockoffs and cheap toys. And that's where
you
got I got
fake
wrestlers. Oh, like they had. Gosh. I specifically remember there was a Andre the Giant one, but Andre the Giant was the same size as all the other characters.
I actually had the original, so yeah. I feel bad for you. My brother-in-law, okay. actually, his name's Ed, and he has started collecting the LJN wrestlers.
That's an expensive hobby at this point. But
any other memories?
Yeah, we always went to church on Sunday or on Christmas Eve, and that was fun, and singing songs, and then we shared a driveway with our neighbor. We would go to their house, and they smoked a lot, and so...
Who didn't in the 80s?
Well, our house. So we left there reeking of cigarettes and super pumped that Santa was almost there because our neighbor would pretend to have a ham radio that he could communicate with the North Pole and he would give us updates. So then as it got later in the evening, we would go up to his room and he'd be telling us, okay, yeah, I know he's getting close. Yeah, no, I got a new message. And we would tear down the stairs and like, we got to go in order to get in bed because you didn't want to miss the man.
No.
So anyhow, that was always fun. Good memories there.
What do you mean pretended? Like, obviously he had contact. If he was able to say to you, he's coming, that's obvious. Like,
well,
what do you mean pretend?
I think maybe he was just getting the one-way message and he was pretending like he was communicating with the North Pole.
Yeah, because you can't communicate with him.
No, it's just too busy on that day in particular. But yeah, lots of I've got the thing I have got back into collecting, at least because I collect records, is I went back and found all of my favorite Christmas records being a kid. So I'm tracked down a couple of ones that are like more rare and probably no one outside of my family's ever heard of. But now I've got a collection of probably like 25 or 30 that I break out every 2 years because as I've gotten older, every year feels like we just celebrated Christmas. So then I take 1 year off and then the next year I'm totally in the holiday spirit.
You take a year off of Christmas?
Yeah. I still like buy gifts and stuff, but it feels like it's too soon.
That's absolutely bonkers. I don't even understand that.
Yeah, I know. It's a weird thing. I can't explain it myself. But, you know.
Well, are you celebrating this year?
This is the year, baby.
Okay,
yeah, we're on.
Okay,
that's why this works out perfect.
All right.
So, guys, I wanted you to be in the Christmas spirit for today's podcast, so I have brought you presents to get you in the Christmas mood. Hold on a second.
So nice.
Do I get to keep them?
These are genuine presents. These are your Christmas presents from your producer.
You can hear the bag opening.
Yeah.
For Jeff,
have my gosh.
G.I. Joe. Whoa. Well, Cobra,
it's actually something he wants.
Cobra Fang Lego.
Well, it's fake Lego, but. And for Joel, we have his record collection.
Wow.
St. Elmo's Fire soundtrack. It's retro and it's a record, so wow, it's just for you.
That is awesome. My gosh, he's a man in motion.
This was totally unplanned.
There, that's to get you guys in the Christmas spirit. When we review our Christmas shows coming up next, yes?
Yeah, no absolutely.
All right.
We'll take a break. Come back with our review of Christmas classics.
The rules for this podcast are as follows. We challenged each other to share two TV specials aired in the 1980s and two theatrically released Christmas films. The other host did not know what was going to be presented to the other, so it was a complete mystery.
Our shortlist of Christmas films from the 80s includes such wonderful masterpieces as Christmas Vacation, my favorite, Ernest Saves Christmas, Babes in Toyland, Christmas Story, Prancer, Smoky Mountain Christmas, A Brady Christmas, Came Upon a Midnight Clear, The Christmas Star, Mickey's Christmas Carol, Muppet's Family Christmas, The He-Man Christmas Special, Yogi's First Christmas, Alvin and the Chipmunks Christmas, The Snowman Scrooged, and of course, one of our favorites for screening, Gremlins.
And we've probably missed about 40 or 50 titles, so please don't get too angry at us.
Mm-hmm.
Joel, what was the first selection for me?
I went with one of my favorites from television, 1977's A Cosmic Christmas.
So Joel asked if we could do something done in the 70s. I said the caveat was anything that aired in the 80s was fair game.
Yes, and I saw this on TV in the 80s, and I remember renting it from the library on the reels, on actual film, and we watched it in our house. So it was one that I loved as a kid, and then because it was lesser known, it sort of disappeared and couldn't find it. But I remember it well, and I was pumped then when we were doing this. I went searching and found multiple copies of it.
Can you go back to, you said reels, and this is important for people that were not Gen Xers.
Yes.
What do you mean?
The actual film, like on a projector, and you could rent those, borrow them, I guess, from the library, because that's the only way you could watch moving pictures at the time.
And it was just usually junk as well. Like, I remember having a birthday party and my parents got the projector and it was some horse movie. There was no text or anything, no verbalization. It was just like a horse going
running around.
And the horse was afraid. And the whole show, the climax was, let's put blinders on the horse so it won't be afraid.
This sounds like the most appropriate movie your parents ever showed you.
I saw it probably like three or four times, like because you couldn't get other reel-to-reel movies. So you'd go to I saw it at school. Really? I saw it at the library. I saw it at my house.
Yeah, well, this A Cosmic Christmas it came out in 1977. It was made by a company called Nelvana.
Everyone knows Nelvana, though, right?
Maybe. They were around a really long time.
They did Care Bears.
Yeah, tons of stuff. It's a present day, 1977. Three aliens from an unknown planet who bear a strong resemblance to the biblical magi visit Earth to understand the true meaning of Christmas.
Yeah. Looking at the notes, it's for highlights, all Joel wrote was, it's awesome.
Well, because I figured I'd explain why I liked it. Certainly, it was animated, so that's fun.
Love animation.
Yeah, and once I dug into it, there's things that I think you'll more appreciate about it. But certainly, growing up in a church attending family, then it was a nice story. There are aliens. There's a nice message at the end about taking care of people. Even the kid that's bullied, he rescues his bully from drowning in a river. It was great.
I feel sorry about laughing there, but you said church attending family, and then you just went right into aliens.
Yeah. Well, it was an unusual church. That as well as aliens.
Simon, do you recall this one at all?
I don't think so. Maybe. I don't know.
So
it's something about it sounds kind of familiar, but I don't know.
I'm assigning it
sure.
to you. So
yeah, all right.
Here's the things that are interesting. As you discovered, one of the aliens, Malthor, was voice acted by Duncan Regier.
Yeah, Monster Squad.
Dracula from Monster Squad. Lexicon, one of the other aliens, performed by Richard Davidson. Do you know who he is?
No.
Fellow Hamiltonian. He's from Hamilton, which is kind of cool.
Well, that explains it.
And this is more of the one for you. The mayor is Chris Wiggins, who was on Friday the 13th TV show.
Oh, yeah. I remember that show. I love that
show. He was the dad from Swiss Family Robinson.
Oh, that I hated that show, but I had to watch it on Saturday afternoons.
He was the voice for Mysterio on Spider-Man.
Ooh.
He was the voice for Will Scarlet from Rocket Robin Hood.
That is a phenomenal
show. He was on Droids. He was on Ewoks. He was on Care Bears. The other part is that even though Jeff was not a fan of this.
How do you know that?
Because
I haven't even said that. I haven't even said anything yet.
I suspect. You know who was a fan?
A
little fella. I'm not sure about him. He just got paid.
Okay.
But a fellow named George Lucas.
Oh.
And it was actually this special.
This inspired Star Wars, folks.
It actually got Nelvana to do the Faithful Wookiee animated segment of the Star Wars Christmas special, which was the first appearance of Boba Fett.
This is a huge, this is groundbreaking stuff here. Now,
I loved it. I still like it.
So
it was fun. It was a nice jaunt down memory lane.
So you know what? This is not on my mantle. This is obviously something that would be on TV and it would be me playing G.I. Joe in the background. Do you remember what I texted you while I was watching this at all?
No.
You don't?
I can look it up, probably.
You should look it up. I kind of felt bad watching it because I know how dear to Joel's heart this is. And
it's okay. We don't have to like all the same things.
It didn't. Just most of them. It didn't. It wasn't something that I recalled. And when I was watching it, I was kind of angry.
How come?
I don't like the mesh of... I don't want aliens to infiltrate the holiday. It just seemed weird to me. And I didn't quite understand everything because it was like there was a bad kid stealing stuff and the Magi came out of nowhere. And then the aunt or the mom had to like... speak to the aliens about Christmas. And these aliens were kind of scary. I'm not going to talk to... If there's aliens in my house,
what?
I'm out of there. I'm not going to sit there and I'm not going to tell them all about Christmas.
Well,
I'm gone.
No way. You were friends with Freddy Krueger at the age of 6. There's no way that some animated aliens are frightening you.
I didn't say it frightened me. I just said it wouldn't make sense to me that I would be...
I thought it was a neat play on the idea of there being these other creatures that then somehow saw this distant star that appeared and wanted to find out. It is a cool play on the traditional Christmas story, in my view.
So you couldn't figure out what I said to you, eh?
No, I looked. I didn't see anything.
It was...
you asked, did you show your wife this?
Yeah, and you didn't.
Not yet.
Which you should have. Because I need to know.
We've watched a few.
I need to know if I'm off base on this. And then maybe get back to me.
Will do.
All I put was you picked a couple of doozies. that's all I said.
And I acknowledged this one is a good one. The other one's more of a joke. But
okay.
Anyhow, that's...
So I respect, what I'm going to say is I respect this is like a little jaunt down nostalgia lane.
Yes.
Would it transfer over to the next generation?
Probably not.
It's a little weird. It's a little out there.
And it's older in style, appearance. So I get it that it hit me because of how old I was at the time and that it meant something and that it now holds that spot in my heart.
But when would you have seen it last other than...
Oh, gosh. Oh, actually, when the dawn of eBay, when there weren't a lot of sellers, I bought a lot of garbage for like a dollar or less. And this was actually released on a VHS with another special. And Cosmic Christmas was the extra one. So you had to know it was there to go get it. And I bought it on VHS. So I probably would have seen it 20 years ago when I had a VCR last.
You just called it garbage. You just said it's eBay's garbage.
They have a lot of garbage on there.
But this is not garbage.
No, this is, or at least it's top of the pile.
I'm going to challenge anyone listening to track this down and watch it and then get back to me and let me know if I'm being too harsh. I don't want to be harsh, but it was 22 minutes and I was like, and I also said that's 22 minutes. I'll never get back. I think I did text you.
Yes, you did that.
Which is,
that.
You know, it's not nice of me.
No. Well, my next pick was way worse. So
speaking of next picks, we should move on. I think you guys have been talking about this one for 22 minutes, almost as long as
worthwhile.
Sorry about that. Thing.
All right, Jeff, you're up. What's your pick?
I picked a movie called Cosmic Christmas. No, I didn't. Sorry, I didn't. Okay, so this one, again, we're talking about movies that are long forgotten and most people will not connect with. So we're kind of doing this back and forth to each other. I really like this one, and I remember it from when I was a little kid. When it came out, I read the book. Mm-hmm. My class read the book.
Absolutely.
The best Christmas pageant ever, 1983.
What?
Starring Loretta Swit from MASH. And there's a huge Canadian connection here.
Absolutely.
Ocean Hellman from?
Danger Bay.
And Jackson Davies from?
Beachcombers.
And
Fairuza Balk.
She kind of gained a little bit of fame from The Water Boy and The Craft.
And almost famous, I think she's in
that. Oh, yeah, she was in that. She was
one of the Band-Aids.
I enjoy her as an actress, and this was her first film. Yeah,
yep.
So,
what's the story about?
The Herdmans are the worst kids in the history of the world. Whoa. They lie, steal, smoke cigars, swear, and hit little kids. So no one is prepared when this outlaw family invades church one Saturday. Sunday, oh my gosh, sorry, and decides to take over the annual Christmas pageant. What did you think of it?
I remember reading it too, having the book, you know, remember in the school library or maybe the public library, every Christmas the holiday books would show up.
100%.
And so then you'd end up reading the same ones.
Yes.
And this was one of them. I don't really remember seeing the movie.
Okay.
So this was my first.
It was your first time seeing the film?
That I recall. But I liked it because I remember the story, and I think it's a good story. It's a Canadian production, so it's got.
It is filmed in California, though,
was
I
it?
Believe.
I thought it was out in Vancouver.
I'll have to look it up, but there's. Well, surprisingly, there's no snow.
Oh, yeah. But
so that's.
But there, I think there were, yeah, number of. Well, as we referenced, the number of Canadian actors.
I will fact check that as we're speaking. So,
do you remember why you liked it so much?
So for me, and you've referenced this too, back in the 80s, a lot of people went to church, mm-hmm. and I was one of them. And I did not enjoy going to church on Sundays because mm-hmm. I just wanted to sit in my pajamas and watch Commander Tom.
Sure.
So the only thing that got me excited was around November, they would start casting the Christmas pageant.
Mm-hmm.
And all I wanted to be was a shepherd.
Really?
Because I just wanted to wear my robe. And that's every
the
year.
The least amount of change from
every
home
year,
to church.
I was a shepherd. And it was my first acting experience, and I nailed it every time.
Sure.
And just the pensive look on my face. I would nod as the baby would mm-hmm. be presented.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, back in the 80s, this is a really interesting thing. As I was going through all the catalogs, there's a lot of faith-based Christmas stuff,
mm-hmm.
which isn't as present now.
Sure.
And if you lived in Ontario at the time, you couldn't do anything on a Sunday. Like, you couldn't shop.
Yep.
You couldn't. I remember my dad would be frantic on Saturday trying to get to the beer store because all those things were closed on Sunday. There was really nothing to do. So families would often be going to church.
It's the one building that was open.
There was the one building that was open. And every year we did a Christmas pageant. Oh. Were you ever in a Christmas pageant?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Every year we would do something. And
what, did you ever get the Joseph casting call? Or?
No, we didn't just do a traditional one. We had like quite a large church and lots of kids. So then they would do quite significant sized productions. So
you never did the nativity?
No, there'd be like reference to it, but it would be, you know, a big choir of, we'd probably have like 50, 60 kids and different storylines. But
you know, you could be Joseph now. You got this great beard.
True.
You but could I don't be cast in it.
But if I were him, I'd be like, a kid? Nah, no thanks.
And that's the spirit of Christmas. So some of the highlights for me in this movie, it was like the kids smoking. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's so cool. Which probably didn't have
the... I don't think that was the intended message.
It wasn't the intent, but I thought, oh my gosh, they're smoking in the church.
Right.
And the one thing that I always messed with me is Gladys Herdman, I think it was Gladys, she would talk about how she was going to shove a pussy willow down someone kid's ear.
Right.
And I totally remember that, and it always freaked me out all the time.
Yeah.
This movie does hit well for my own children. We've watched it several times. They too have been in Christmas pageants.
Yep.
And they think it's very reflective of that kind of faith-based Christmas. They actually really like it.
Yeah,
they like the show.
I enjoyed watching it now. I thought it had a nice message at the end, the way that the kids were viewed negatively coming from a more challenging background. But then eventually, you know, when all is said and done, they convinced everybody that this was the best pageant ever.
I don't think this would hit now.
Because
we no longer do things like Lord's Prayer in the school. And
true.
It's more...
It would be less understood.
I think it's more secular-based now, the Christmas things that are out there.
But it might... I think for people our age, the old folks, there would probably be some appreciation for watching it now.
Simon, did you ever see this or read the book?
I don't remember reading the book. I remember seeing the book on the show. I don't think I read it, but I definitely saw the movie. Mm-hmm. Or was it a TV show? Or
was it like a TV special.
Yep. Yeah.
I definitely saw it. I remember seeing it.
Thank you, Simon.
That was his impression. I definitely saw it.
Yes, I definitely saw it. I enjoyed it as a kid. I haven't seen it since I was a kid, though.
Yep.
I challenge you to watch it.
My next selection was intended to ruffle some feathers.
This is torture.
It was.
You've been talking about this for a year.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's quintessential 80s TV. So for our next selection, I chose 1984's A Christmas Dream, which is a television special starring such holiday favorite actors as Mr. T.
I pity the fool.
Emmanuel Lewis. David Copperfield. Ed Koch makes an appearance.
He made an appearance in everything.
Yeah, anything that was taking place in New York City. So this was an NBC Christmas special. Mr. T plays a street Santa Claus who meets a young boy played by Emmanuel Lewis, TV's Webster, who doesn't share the spirit of Christmas. Mr. T sets out to change Billy's mind, taking him around the city to FAO Schwartz. He gets a magic lesson from David Copperfield, goes to Radio City Music Hall, listens to songs sung by Maureen McGovern,
who?
Everyone's favorite. Imagines himself as one of the toy soldiers in the Rockettes' Christmas show, meets Willie Tyler and his dummy Lester.
I remember Lester.
Absolutely, everyone should if you're our age. And is finally moved to realize the true meaning of Christmas before being reunited with his parents.
Yeah, and this was just a catastrophe from start to finish. Simon, do you remember this?
I do not. But my question is, how old was Emmanuel Lewis's character supposed to be compared to how old Emmanuel
Lewis actually was at the time? No idea.
Emmanuel Lewis was 35 at the time of the creation.
Probably you're not far off.
That was the whole myth was like Emmanuel Lewis was a 37-year-old playing an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
I think he was like a couple years older.
So I discovered this last year when we were looking for holiday movies or things to show for a screening, and stumbled across this online. And I just laughed at the thought of it. And so having watched it, it's total cheese.
Why did you do this to me?
Because I thought it'd be entertaining.
I was angry. And I would watch it in 10-minute stints. Because I wanted to be true to the podcast.
Right.
And it was infuriating.
It was pretty
bad. The first couple minutes were good because I was like, oh, yeah, Mr. T. I love Mr. T.
Sure.
Emmanuelos. I love Webster. Yeah. Love Webster. It's such an awesome show. And then, obviously, they're trying to capitalize on the popularity of these two characters. And then they throw a bunch of B-level. Like, who's Maureen McGovern? And the songs that she's... I apologize to Maureen. You're a nice person.
Oh, sure.
I just didn't dig it. I apologize.
I think the other part that why I wanted to share it was very much of its time. And really from the 50s onwards, the variety show television programs.
Yes.
This is totally that with this loose plot that they use to pull it together. Did not succeed in either of our minds, but it was an enjoyable thing for that, because remembering some of those people and like the actors that and the sights of New York City, you know, that held some magic way back when we were kids. But it's super lame. You should definitely go.
It's on YouTube. Absolutely. So just put, I would say put it on and let us know.
Yes.
My highlight, I didn't have many, but I love when David Copperfield turns to the patron shopping. He's with Webster. Pardon me, do you have a cigarette? And then he pulls the cigarette out and he's looking at the cigarette and he shoves it through a quarter to show how magic he is. And why, I guess, like I said before at the start, the smoking was prevalent.
True.
Everyone smoked, including Webster.
He did?
Well, he was 37 at the time. So.
So he probably did.
Moving on. The next one we picked is something that most people haven't seen, probably haven't heard of. You may have heard of the iconic poem by Dylan Thomas. It's A Child's Christmas in Wales from 1987. This was a TV special, notably for Canadian kids. It was a global TV and a Wales TV production highlighted by the Toronto Boys Choir.
Mm.
Young Thomas is disappointed because it's raining on Christmas Eve, but his spirits are soon lifted by his grandfather, who gives him a snow globe and recounts his own childhood memories. For me, I remember this as a child watching this on TV, and then I just lost track of it until about, I would say, 2005, maybe 2008, something, somewhere in there, walking through the library and seeing it on DVD, because we were there getting Christmas books with the kids and pulling it out, and we've been watching it ever since in my house, and it's a Christmas tradition. One daughter hates it. Charlotte hates it. And my oldest daughter, Grace, told me that it was her Christmas movie that we watched together. Yeah.
What about it do you like, or what connected with you, and then what connects with her?
I think what connects with her is the fact that I would read the poem.
Oh, yeah.
And then we would watch the show together. Hmm. And for me, I love the idyllic shots of the village, and just when someone talks about their own nostalgia, I kind of enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of it?
Yeah, it was good. It's interesting how many of these things we've picked in multiple settings or themes that are set in other periods. So I guess just reflecting the common human behavior of nostalgia and reminiscing. I don't recall ever seeing this as a kid, but we watched it last week, and it was enjoyable. It was a bit slow.
You didn't get angry?
No, it was definitely, aside from the fact that Mr. T was not in the original poem.
He was originally cast for it, but they
can't believe Dylan Thomas left
him. Couldn't get the Wales accent.
Right,
So, I guess for me, it's just watching it, and it really, even though it's set in the turn of the century, a lot of my Christmas memories are around family get-togethers, drunk uncles.
Sure.
Lots of drunk uncles, and that was the fun part about Christmas, and it seemed like little Garrett was also having a lot of fun.
Right. It's a little bit of mayhem of throwing snowballs or putting it through people's mail slots.
Yeah. And so even though, again, it was set in a bygone era, a lot of those reflections I could see in myself.
Yeah. Yeah, it was enjoyable. I'm surprised to hear that one of your daughters liked it so much.
Yes, because they tend not to like things that I present to them.
Mm-hmm. Our next choice or my next choice.
We're moving into the theatrical films that were released into the theaters.
Yep. So we've got
people actually had a chance to either go or not go.
Mm-hmm. And which will also make them more accessible for anyone who hasn't seen them.
Okay, what do you got for me?
So my choice, because we wanted to, I wanted to steer it off the main list a little bit, was One Magic Christmas from 1985, which starred Mary Steenburgen, Harry Dean Stanton, and Wayne Robson, as well as being Sarah Pauley's first film.
It is her very first film. Do you know what Wayne Robson is on that he's big for?
I do not recall.
Do you know, Simon? He was on the Red Green Show.
Ah.
Which is another Canadiana style show.
Made some headway into the U.S.
I served him a beer once in Toronto.
Really?
Yeah, the CBC Studios was right next to the Lone Star Cafe.
Whoa.
And I was T-Bone at the Lone Star, and I served him a beer. He's a very nice fellow.
Cool. So this story is about a Christmas angel named Gideon who's sent by Santa Claus to help Ginny Granger, who's a cynic and hates Christmas. She and her family have fallen on hard times, making it even harder to believe in anything that can't be seen. Can Gideon find a way to make her believe again? You might be surprised by the outcome.
I bet he does.
Okay, you won't be surprised at all.
This was filmed in Meaford and Owen Sound, Ontario, which I've been to both, and just watching the film, for me, this is the 1980s in Canada.
Absolutely.
Like, even the way it was filmed, this is not on a set. The roads are full of snow and slush.
Yep.
One of the main scenes was playing hockey with a puck on pavement, and we used to do that all the time. It was so stupid.
Yeah.
Because the puck's not going to travel. It just rolled.
But the advantage to that is the orange hard as rocks hockey balls that would, one, hurt, but then also if you shot it too hard and missed the net, you had to go chase it. So at least the puck didn't go that far.
So the film, for me, lots of nostalgia. This was released in November of 1985, November 22nd. I definitely saw this in the theater with my mom, my sister. Currently available on Disney Plus, so perfect. A lot of generations are having a chance to see this.
So, sorry to interrupt. Of course. I'm wondering, you saw it in the theater with your family, and so where's the part where people get killed or expose themselves?
Well, let's get to that, because
seems to be the
there's
only
a reason it's
your
called magic.
This film is. Again, this is such a 1980s kind of kid trauma trope that Disney liked to pull on people. Please come to our film, One Magic Christmas, where mayhem... Like, it goes bonkers, this movie. It is
pretty heavy.
It's depressing.
There's parts of it that are light and fun. Like you were saying, it's just showing the kids playing in town... on their street.
Yeah, but then, except when the drunk hobo comes out of the tree and starts talking to the kids.
We all know he's an angel, though.
He looks like a drunk hobo that rides the rails. And this is your...
Ended up in Meaford.
This is your Gideon... This is your A-level angel?
Mm-hmm.
This scared me as a kid, too. Yeah. Like, this guy... Yeah, he's playing his harmonica in a tree.
That's a bit creepy, and it gets dark.
This gets dark fast.
Yeah.
Right? You're thinking this is going to be just a whimsical Christmas show.
What it struck me as, because I hadn't seen it in a long time, was it was sort of like an 80s version of It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
Similar
They always try to do that with It's a Wonderful Life. There's tons of reboots of it, right? Repackaged. Yeah. Mary Steenburgen, who she looked 45 in this. She looks 45 now.
Yeah,
she's basically 45.
She's never changed.
She's never changed.
Yep.
I feel bad for her.
How come?
Well, her husband was laid off.
It's true.
She works at the supermarket, and she's trying to
just... Her boss isn't very kind.
Her boss isn't kind. She's just trying to get through Christmas, and horrible bad things keep happening to her. Like, can you say what... Let's just spoil it. What happens to her?
Well, her kids get kidnapped.
Yeah.
And then the kidnapper drives the car into a river.
And they all die. Merry Christmas and a
and
happy
that, well,
New
and
Year.
That's after her husband is shot in the bank trying to disrupt a robbery.
Yeah.
Or actually, a young girl being taken.
Yes.
However,
oh,
it turns around
oh.
because by the power of Christmas, she believes again.
It was all a dream.
And it was a neat little thing. If you have to pay attention, all of a sudden the lights on the street go out.
Yes.
And then bad stuff starts happening.
Yes.
And then once she believes again, all of a sudden the lights turn back on and her husband's alive and the kids have never died.
Well, I mean, tell my 5-year-old sister that as she's crying through the movie and then all of a sudden it's okay at the end.
Well, the kids were okay like pretty much right away or pretty close. And the dad's back at the end. But anyhow,
I have to say, I
liked it.
I have to say, I did like it as a kid. I think when you're a kid in the 80s, you're not like, you know that it's not all perfect. You
right.
know that it's, you know, not going to all work out. You know, it's not all just.
But
know.
That is a nice element to this movie, too. Of it's set as a middle, low income family. It's not just, hey, look at our mansion. And,
yeah.
Oh, we are having a hard time because, the Porsche isn't working and it's cold
yeah.
out. And now we have to just take the Benz.
It's a really good reflection of what 80s life was like.
Sure.
Like the
For
economy at the time.
A lot of people. Yep.
There was not a huge amount of gifts going around. You didn't have charge cards really
sure.
back then, right?
Yep.
If you wanted to buy something, it was on layaway. And you'd slowly pay for it over...
At Consumers Distributing.
I love that place, man. Mm-hmm. I loved it. So I did show this to my children. Simon, do you have any recollections of...
I have not seen this, but I did enjoy Consumers Distributing. They had the best G.I. Joe stuff
sure.
there.
This is a side note. I used to love the Christmas wish book from Consumers,
was
Eaton's
it?
And Sears.
Oh, I was going to say. I think
they had,
the
there was three
was,
major catalogs
yeah,
that
yeah.
came out, and I would pore over them
sure.
for months.
Yeah.
I circled everything and got almost all of it.
Oh,
no,
wow.
Not all of it.
Big V did not have a Christmas
no.
catalog.
No.
Just the rest.
The only thing with Consumers, it was great. But the only thing is you'd save up your allowance to buy like the latest G.I. Joe toy.
Yeah.
And then you'd go and you'd fill out the tag.
Yeah, you have to fill it out.
And then you'd
yep.
take it up to the counter. They'd be like, oh, no, we don't have any of those right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, and you'd spend 15
and
minutes
like,
doing that. Because weirdly, it's a shop that you can't see anything.
No, it's all
you
in the back.
You look at their catalog, and then you give them a ticket, and they go to the back and give it.
Kind of like eBay. Or
kind
not
of.
eBay, sorry, Amazon.
Right.
Do you know what else was like that?
Yeah.
There was another store that was like that in the 80s.
Which one?
The liquor store. Everything was, Joel, oh, you wouldn't know this. But I would go to the liquor store. It was one of my favorite things to do on a Saturday. There'd be a man behind the counter.
Really?
And then, you know, your parent would fill out the form and give it to the liquor store
really?
Man. And he'd come back with a brown bottle.
Huh.
You don't remember that, Simon?
No. But the beer store is kind of like that now. Or up until recently, it was still kind of like that. I mean, you didn't have to fill out a form. But
Brewers
you have to point to the wall.
For our American listeners, we... Up in Canada, name our stores by what is in them. So
yeah.
we have the liquor store. We have the beer store. We're not even kidding. These are real
yeah.
names. Sometimes our local stores, for example, there's one in our area called Milk and Things. You
there's
can
no
guess
milk.
At what's in there. Milk and many things.
No liquor.
Not yet.
So that's another 80s
yeah.
thing that
yeah.
you would have to like sign things to get things in return.
Yeah.
You couldn't just pick it up yourself.
Yeah. You can't look. We can't show you all the stuff. So much.
So roundabout, back to it. My kids do not like this film. I do make them watch a lot of these things
mm-hmm.
and too depressing for them. My wife
yeah.
doesn't like it either.
Really?
Yeah. I like it. Coach Rose loves it.
Yeah. I could see that it wouldn't be one that you would be excited to watch annually.
I am.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why. Hmm. I think it's just because of that nostalgia.
Well, then maybe for some, yeah. But if you get it, you enjoy it. If you don't,
well,
I can see passing on it.
Thank you,
bit.
Joel. I appreciate that for setting me up because the first two, like I said,
yeah.
were, I was not excited.
Hopefully I redeemed myself.
You went and totally redeemed yourself. So the one I wanted to present to Joel, and
yep.
this was on purpose because last year he did not watch it.
Mm-hmm.
It was part of our Christmas list. And he refused to watch it. So I said, not this time, buddy.
Nope.
You're watching it. This is Santa Claus the movie. This premiered 5 days later, November 27th, 1985, starring Dudley Moore, who played Patch the Elf, David Huddleston as Santa, also Jeffrey Lebowski,
right,
and many others, a little-known actor called John Lithgow, who played BZ, mm-hmm, the evil capitalist pig, and Burgess Meredith.
Mickey.
You're a bum. He was also in Cocoon.
Right.
And so this is the legend of Santa Claus, when Santa's put in jeopardy with an unscrupulous toy manufacturer who attempts to take over Christmas. Was this your first time seeing it?
The first time I recall seeing it, yes. May have seen it when I was a kid, but no recollection of that. And yeah, it was an interesting take on the Santa Claus story, explaining, you know, especially at the beginning, I think you referenced
the origin.
Yeah, that would have been fun to see that a bit played out a bit longer, but then how he became who he is and how he takes care of the children every year and brings it into modern day and his interactions with some of the kids that he meets I really liked it.
Simon, you saw this for sure.
Probably. I don't remember it.
Come on. You don't remember anything.
I know, but it's because I'm old. I'm older than you guys.
We're worried about you.
I'm starting to forget things. That's all.
Yeah.
So this was a big one for me because Grandma took me to this down at Jackson Square.
That makes sense. It was more appropriate.
I think we had dinner at the Arcadian Court at Eaton's First, and where I got the Jell-O with the Cool Whip on it.
Nice.
And we went and saw it, and I just have total memories of the entire thing.
Hmm.
I'm going to say, having rewatched it, and I rewatched it with my daughter Charlotte, she said, I know I'm not going to like this.
Mm-hmm.
Why? There's an English lady narrating it.
What?
It's at the beginning. There's an English lady narrating it. I'm like, why is that a problem? She's just like, I just know. And so I'm like, this is my favorite part. It's setting everything up, and Santa gets frozen to death and then resurrected by the elves. And we're in the toy area, Santa's village, and it's a beautifully done set.
Mm-hmm.
Very connected to it. And I say, what do you think of it now? Oh, this is just like a fever dream to me. And I'm like, you know what? So we got about 20 minutes through. I said, is there anything you like? I really like Santa Claus's bed.
Whoa.
And it was like this weird, do you remember the bed? It's like built into the wall, and it's got a door.
Oh, okay.
And it's just like his bed's in the wall.
Hmm.
So that's the only thing she liked about it.
It's an unusual choice.
So if you don't like fever dreams or English ladies narrating, you're not going to like this. Joel, I have to say, after the rewatch, it is a little bit bonkers. Like,
yeah,
the first act is fun because it's like origin story, yep, but then with the, there's like a homeless kid that's trying
that's
to.
That's sad.
And then there's a rich kid, Beezy's.
That was weird. They didn't like really connect them something. Until like I felt, and maybe I missed it, but it felt like it wasn't connected till the middle of the movie that they're somehow related.
Yeah.
But
I don't really know if I recommend it, although I have great nostalgia. It was more of a punishment to you.
No. I thought it was decent, certainly after comparing it with definitely A Christmas Dream and even the heaviness of One Magic Christmas. It much more, much lighter.
It had levity.
Yeah. It was intended to be comedic at points. So it was, it makes sense why this would be a movie that families would be happy to watch.
So my parents took me to the one that's horribly depressing. And then 5 days later, Grandma got me the Jell-O and built Christmas back
up. Yes. Doesn't have to be a bad time of year.
Okay. So that was our two theatrical releases for Christmas 1985.
Mm-hmm.
Are you recommending both of them or one? Or
I would recommend both.
I'm going to two.
Yeah, I think they're worth seeing. And even if you decide not to ever see them again, I think you'll enjoy it on the first go around. Especially of, I can see that kids won't necessarily like One Magic Christmas, but it also has a, like we said, a different angle of showing us what some people live like in their experiences. So maybe it's valuable socially that way.
So we reached out to the audience to find out what your 80s special memories are. And lo and behold, we got someone who is huge in the 80s podcasting community.
Absolutely.
And when you told me that he was recording something for this very podcast, I was blown away.
You didn't believe me.
No, I didn't believe you. Go ahead. Say to our listeners who called in.
So we got a message with a recommendation from one of our favorite 80s podcasters, Jamie, who hosts the Everything 80s podcast.
Which is an amazing podcast.
He's done a number of Christmas episodes.
Yeah.
So he knows what he's talking about. He's mind deep on this subject.
Yeah, it's a way better podcast than ours. I would turn this off now and go download.
That's what I have playing in
the
headphones.
I'm not even listening to us.
What?
I'm listening to
Jamie. I can't
hear
you. I'm listening to Jamie.
Okay, so he called in.
Yep.
And let's play that.
Absolutely.
Roll that beautiful bean footage.
This is Jamie from the Everything 80s podcast. And my obscure Christmas special or movie goes back to 1984, and it's called The Night They Saved Christmas. And this was a live action made for TV movie that aired on ABC on December 13th, 1984. So you may have never heard of this, you may remember it, or this may be jogging your memory, but it was a relatively big hit when it came out. And I vaguely remember it because it had Art Carney as Santa Claus, and I was a big Honeymooners fan. But you can find it still on YouTube if you want to go back and relive it. The premise of A Night They Save Christmas is about this oil company that's exploring the North Pole, and it's run by this guy named Michael, and he's trying to blast through everything, trying to find the oil. It's not producing any results. But in the meantime, he's having issues with his family, and his kids are going through that classic debate about the existence of Santa Claus. So because of all the setbacks Michael is facing, he's threatened to be fired. That's when he ends up meeting Ed, who is Santa's head elf. And Ed tells him that all his work in the North Pole could actually destroy a place called North Pole City. So Michael now is aware that Santa is real, and he takes his family and his kids to the North Pole to meet him. But up in the North Pole, they're still blasting for oil, and Michael knows that these evil business owners that are trying to blast for more oil could destroy North Pole City and could ruin Christmas as we know it. Michael's able to thwart this whole thing, and even the evil business owner has a change of heart when he sees Santa and his reindeer, and he too becomes a believer. So, like I said, a TV movie from 1984, so it's got that cheap, made-for-TV feel, but it's still got a bit of a sort of nostalgic warmth to it. It's got a lot of pure 1980s Christmas charm, and you can see all this if it's still available on YouTube. It can come and go depending on, you know, when it's taken down or not. But if you're looking for something new in the 1980s sort of schmaltzy, warm holiday fare, this is worth giving a shot. And it was actually nominated for an Emmy for Outstanding Children's Programming. And this was a year it was up against some big competition, including Punky Brewster, Reading Rainbow, and The Ewok Adventure. So it's worth checking out.
Thanks so much, Jamie. We really appreciate you pointing us towards this little or lesser known film. Jeff and we hadn't seen it.
I don't recall seeing it. I watched it.
Absolutely.
I enjoyed it. The one thing that I was blown away with is Jacqueline Smith, Charlie's Angel, was telling her husband that she wanted to go back to LA with them, and he wouldn't go. I'm like, what are you talking? You're with a Charlie's Angel. You do what the Charlie's Angel says.
Yeah, in the Arctic.
Yeah, I'm gone.
Yeah.
I'm going back with Jacqueline Smith to LA.
It turned out okay in the end.
Yeah, so it was a fun little trip down memory lane, and I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jamie.
Thank you very much.
Hey, this is Jordan phoning in from Hamilton, Ontario. Big fan of the podcast, so definitely wanted to send in my thoughts on a favorite Christmas movie. The movie that comes to mind for me is called One Magic Christmas, and it's an old random Christmas movie that used to air on CBC. It was filmed in Owen Sound, and my grandparents lived in Onsen at the time, so they're in the final scene at the tree lighting. So it was always kind of special for us to watch that movie as a family, and then also just having that connection of our grandparents being just random extras in the movie was really cool as well. So yeah, One Magic Christmas, I've watched it as an adult, and it's still just as special.
Hey, this is Marco calling from Pacific Grove, California. My favorite Christmas movie is The Year Without a Santa Claus because it has two misers, and I'm a miser also. I think the hosts of your show are a couple of misers too, but I like you. Happy holidays, Bah Humbug.
Hi everyone, my name is Wes Armstrong. I'm here in Osaka Prefecture in Japan. Now, there were so many great Christmas and holiday specials in the 80s that it's hard to pinpoint just one. But if I'm going to be true to my young self, I'd like to give Ernest Saves Christmas some recognition. I'm not sure if it holds up, but it certainly entertained me when I was a kid.
So that wraps up our Christmas reviews. Hoping that you guys will dig in and enjoy some of the throwbacks and maybe find a new favorite for your family or one that you can just reminisce about how
or
terrible
trash.
It was. Yeah.
Or trash.
Because that's fun sometimes.
Next time on the Cinema Time Capsule podcast, we will be reviewing 80s action heroes. Follow us as we challenge each other with films from Arnold, Swayze, Sly, Chuck, Kurt Russell, and Van Damme.
So please check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and if you want your voice to be heard on our next podcast, send us a voice recording to cinematimecapsule@gmail.com.
It's not a tumor.
That was Arnold.
Oh,
Kindergarten Cop.
I can't believe he called in too.
Thought he was in the room with us. That's how realistic that wasn't.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry about that. Feel free to edit it out.
Happy holidays, everybody.
And we'll see you at the movies.
This has been the Cinema Time Capsule podcast. For more information about Cinema Time Capsule, please email us at cinematimecapsule@gmail.com. The music during the Comic One segment was Gothamlicious by Kevin MacLeod from Incompetech.com, licensed under Creative Commons. This podcast was produced by Simon Wielden. The theme song was performed by Bruce Turney and Simon Wielden. Thanks for listening.